So in honor of Valentine's Day, let me start out with a romantic joke. A man asked his wife what she would like for her birthday. "I'd like to be six again." So on the morning of her birthday, he got her up bright and early, and off they went to the local theme park. What a day. He put her on every ride in the park. The death slide, the screaming loop, the wall of fear. Everything there was. Wow. 5 hours later, she staggered out of the park, her head reeling and her stomach upside down. Right to McDonald's they went, where he bought her a Big Mac, extra fries, and a chocolate shake. Then it was off to the movies to see the latest Star Wars film, and hot dogs, and popcorn, and Pepsi Cola, and M&Ms. What a fabulous adventure. Finally, she wobbled home with her husband and collapsed into bed. He leaned over and lovingly asked, "Well, dear, what was it like being six again?" One eye open, the wife said, "You dummy, I meant my dress size." Tina Turner, the recording artist, dancer, actress, author, had a popular song in 1984. It was called "What's Love Got to Do with It?" And in this song, she sings, "What's love got to do with it? What's love but a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do with it? What's love but a sweet old-fashioned notion?" Actually, it was more like this. Jack, if you can help me out. "What's love got to do? Got to do with it?" Yeah, give me some clap. "What's love but a sweet old-fashioned notion? What's love got to do? Got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion?" Okay, that was enough. You get the point. You probably have heard that song, although not quite like that, before. So I did some research on the lyrics. And here's what I found out, that this is really an anti-love song. Tina Turner singing about a woman who enjoys physical encounters with her lover but feels no emotional attachment. She wants him to know there's nothing more to it. Their relationship has nothing to do with love. And I was thinking about this song, and I was thinking about our sermon, and I was wondering how many people think that, not with relationships, but with life, that life and love have nothing to do with each other. How many people have become cynical, jaded, hardened? If the Apostle Paul were around and you asked him that question, if you said, "Hey, Paul, you're a pretty smart guy. You're an extremely accomplished religious scholar. You had a personal encounter with Jesus, and you wrote most of the New Testament. What do you think? What's love got to do with it?" I believe Paul would have answered, "Everything." What's love got to do with it? Love has everything to do with it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." How amazing are those words? And like I said, Paul knows some things. Of all of the religious people of his time, Paul was the best. He writes in Philippians 3:5, this is the New Living Translation, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. Back in his time, if you looked up Hebrew in the dictionary, it would have a picture of Paul. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. He goes on to say in Philippians 3:6, I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. As for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Paul is the big dog on the religious porch. And so for Paul to say that love is really what matters, it's significant because he's dedicated so much of his life to living by the letter of the law. Here's what I find so interesting. In today's world, everybody is an expert. I don't know if you have noticed that or not. Everybody is a guru. Everybody is trying to tell you how to do something. And what I find funny and a little scary is that a lot of them have never done what they're trying to tell you to do. Here's how to make $1 million, but I've never done it. Here's how to start a successful business, but I've never done that either. You know, it's one thing to say money isn't important and you should give all your money to the poor, but I'm not impressed if you've never had any money to give away. It's one thing to say you should make sacrifices for the common good for society, but I'm not impressed if you yourself haven't made any sacrifices. So because of Paul's background and experience, his words hold extra weight. Nothing matters without love. Amen? It's early, isn't it? Still early. We can start over. Good morning. I love you. Now, let's try that one more time. Paul said, nothing matters without love. Amen? Okay, all right. I'm still blown away by this statement. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, think about in the Bible, all of the speeches, all of the sermons where words moved masses of people. I was thinking of Peter speaking at Pentecost. He preached to the crowds, and Acts chapter 2, verse 37 says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus that day. I think that would be pretty cool. I would call that a successful day. Paul says, without love, it's nothing. If I have the gift of prophecy, think of all the prophets in the Old Testament. You've got Isaiah, you've got Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Think of Elijah. Elijah's set up and he's battling 400 prophets of Baal. And he whoops them. His successor, who is Elisha, gets surrounded by an opposing army, and his servant is saying, Master, what do we do? And he can see through the army, and he sees chariots and armies of fire. Paul says everything they did, if it was without love, it was nothing. If I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, think of King Solomon, the wisest person who ever lived. He understood how the water cycle works before scientists had figured it out thousands of years later. He even almost figured out how women think. Sort of. Okay, he wasn't that smart. I meant a size 6 dress, you dummy. But as smart as King Solomon was, Paul said without love he had nothing. If I have faith that can move mountains, don't we all want that kind of faith? And not just the faith to move mountains, but the faith to see God's hand in all parts of our life. Faith to know that no matter what, God is in control and God is good and God is merciful. Yet Paul says if you have that kind of faith, but you don't have love, you have nothing. So I'm excited for the next 3 weeks. We're going to be answering that question, what's love got to do with it? And the short answer is everything. And you know, this is a worthy topic to preach on. It's a worthy topic to think about and to pray about because we've all heard 1 Corinthians 13. We've all heard it, but is hearing enough? Do we believe it? Do we use it? Do we live it? I put out on the church sign, I don't know if you saw it coming in, look for it going out. It says, love is lived here. Is it? If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Paul goes on to describe love. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. Always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So I would like to ask us as a church family a couple of questions. Paul says love is patient, love is kind. Is our church patient? Is our church kind? Paul says love does not envy, love does not boast, love is not proud. Does our church not envy? Does our church not boast? Is our church not proud? Paul says love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered and keeps no record of wrongs. Does that describe West Willow United Methodist Church? Here's a different question. Paul says love is patient. Love is kind. Can we ask ourselves, am I patient? Am I kind? Paul says love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. Does that describe me? Does that describe you? Paul says love always protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres. Do you protect, trust, hope, persevere? And again, why does it matter? It matters because Paul says love is everything. Amen? Amen? So how do we live 1 Corinthians 13? How do we bring more love into our lives? And I'm talking specifics. How do we bring more love into our relationships with our spouses, with our children, with our friends, with our family? How do we bring more love into our work? How do we bring more love into our day-to-day activities? How do we bring more love into every single thing that we do every single day? This is a worthwhile pursuit because Paul says, without love, we have nothing. I would like to propose that the first way that we go about bringing more love into our lives is building a foundation of love. How do we do that? Well, it's the same way we build a foundation for other parts of our lives with God's Word. So I did an internet search for scripture about love, and the first website that came up said 97 Bible verses about love. So I would like to read those back to you. Here actually are some of my favorites, just a couple. 1 Corinthians 16:14, do everything in love. Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love.
1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. John 15:12 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Two more. 1 John 14:18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. One of my favorites, John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And if you wear a name tag when Pastor Bob wants you to. All right, I added that. So the first step in building a foundation of love is pulling out Scripture from God's Word, committing it to memory, writing it on our hearts. How do you do this? You get some note cards, right? And you write down Scripture. You get paper, you get a scrap of paper, and you write down Scripture, and you carry it with you. There have been times in my life where I was so stressed and I was so scared that I would take my Sharpie marker, and I would write Scripture on my arm. Hebrews 13:5 is my absolute favorite, where God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. So I have my Sharpie marker here if anybody would like Scripture written down on their arm. No takers. Okay. What that does, though, is it puts God's love right in front of you. So instead of seeing trouble, we see love. Instead of seeing worry and strife, we see love. Instead of doubt and confusion and worry, we see love. Does that make sense? So if my goal is to bring more love into every part of my life, I've built my foundation and I'm grounded in love. Let me finish up with here are just a couple practical ways to bring love into everyday occurrences. So let's say you're driving to work in the morning. Or for you retired folk, you're driving to the spa or the golf course. Or to the bank to count all your money. At this point in the first service, someone shouted out, we go to the doctor's office a lot. So you're driving somewhere and say somebody cuts you off. Instead of getting angry or yelling or pointing one of your fingers at them, you remember 1 Corinthians 16:14, do everything in love. And you show that person grace. You show them forgiveness. Let's say you're out at a restaurant. You're having a meal with a friend. And the waitress or waiter is not giving good service. And they're tired. And they're grumpy. Instead of getting upset, you pull out your note card that says Ephesians 4:2 on it. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. And you might say a kind word to them. And give them a nice tip anyway. Here's a good one. Let's say you get a call from a telemarketer. And instead of being rude and hanging up on them, you remember 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. And you say something like, turn off the alarm. And you say something like, I'm not interested, but thanks for calling and good luck. I know that's a hard job. If they keep talking, then you really crank up the love and say, have you given your life to Jesus yet? That usually will end the conversation. But you get the point. Find ways to add love to every part of your day. Find ways to say, I love you. And if that makes you uncomfortable, say, I appreciate you. Say, I think highly of you. Say, I'm hoping God is going to bless you in special ways today. And this is important because, like Paul said, if we don't have love, we have nothing. But when we do have love, when we bring love into our life, God shows up. And when God shows up, Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up, everything changes. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be your children, to be loved by you, to be cared by you, to be in your embrace. Help us find ways to bring more of you, more of your Son Jesus, more of the Holy Spirit, more of love into all parts of our days. Help us find ways to drop our personal insecurities and drop the insecurities of the world and say we are going to put God's love first in all things that we do. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.